August 1st, organizers from the New Orleans Palestinian Solidarity Committee, along with members of the Palestinian community here in the city, held a demonstration and candlelit vigil in protest of the ongoing violence in Gaza. On July 8th, the Israeli military launched Operation Protective Edge that began with a blockade of Gaza City and continued with shelling of the region that has since displaced more than 30% of the population. It has unfolded into the deadliest conflict in the region since the Second Intifada in 2005. According to the Gazan Ministry of Health, the Palestinian death toll has topped 1,800 since the launch of the operation on July 8th. To show their support for Palestine and to oppose the U.S. government's position on the conflict, close to 1,000 people attended the streetcar named Gaza protest. The event began at the corner of Canal and Carrollton, where hundreds of supporters wearing keffiyehs and carrying signs packed into the streetcar to ride downtown to the start of the march. According to the organizers, they wanted to emulate the historic freedom rides of the civil rights era that brought hundreds together on bus rides to protest racism and segregation. On the streetcar, I met Katie and Selma, who shared with me their reasons for being there.
It's great to see people in New Orleans organizing, and we wanted to be supportive, especially when it's for something as great as stopping the killing.
I feel like mainstream media is really misrepresenting the truth, and I feel like it's really important to call attention to the Palestinians who are being killed, civilians who didn't do anything, women and children who don't deserve to die.
And innocent men too.
If just our presence makes one person, two people, understand what's really happening or think about it harder, then that's really the most that I can do.
Yeah, I think just having community support, it's not just talking heads and input bites and a political issue, it's a human one. And just as humans, we should stand together for any suffering that's happening.
Great. A few minutes later, as the streetcar continued to fill up, I met Abdul and his son, Jay Champ. Abdul was sitting in silent protest with tape over his mouth, but he agreed to explain to me why he came out.
Number one, the silence of our media with the minimal of coverage. Number two, the silence of our president and Congress acting like they don't see the senseless, faultless murders of the innocent folk, and they're believing everything that the authorities or the prime minister is telling them and are telling our media. And for not explaining to the general public over here in the West the importance of Palestine to have the freedom in their own land, you know, airports, hospitals, drinking water, you know, that's a necessity. And not explaining how this conflict came about. You know, we just think they're just throwing rockets at Israel, just want to take Israel land. You know, we got to tell the truth. You know, those were implant immigrants, majority of them, who were taken away from Germany, Belgium, France, wherever, and implanted in Jerusalem from with the aid of British and United States. That's why I'm here tonight. I'm visually impaired, and I have more vision than a lot of us who just sit home and want to play the smartphone and be dumb, you know, and just come out and show support. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to mankind for us just to let that happen, you know. Whether who's right or who's wrong, you know, don't kill them babies. Don't kill an innocent like that, you know. Don't do that.
Because it's like, those kids' minds, they're being lost. Like, they're waking up to their parents dead. They don't know where their family is. Like, everybody is losing somebody. And how would you feel if that was to happen to you? Stop using our tax dollars to fund Israel to go over there and kill. Look at New Orleans. We have a whole lot of potholes. Use some of that money to fix these streets.
When we reached the end of the line at Canal Indicator, We had to wait there for four more streetcars full of protesters to arrive. As I was waiting, I met Alice, who explained to me why she was frustrated with news coverage about the conflict.
Well, mostly it's an unfair balance between the two. It's not a fair fight. This is one. And the entrapment of the situation, it's like having somebody down and you are pounding on him. It's like Gaza is an island, and there are so many people, there is no place to be free. And why? It's a human issue. Yeah, I'm from a Palestinian descent and all, but I don't have, you know, family there. But I cannot see my compatriot, you know, dying every day. And that is very hard to see, yeah. It's only the way they are presenting Israel as being the victim, that they have no choice but to pound on these rocket and these nothing are just so enormous that they are threatening the whole Israel area. And when they repeat how many died from Israel, they always put it in big numbers. They add them up. But with Palestinian, it's a daily thing, 150 today. And in Israel, they say 70 from the beginning of the war until now. So if we calculate how many died from the beginning of the, including children, and it's really, well, it's not biased. You know, we all are biased to our own, but there is an unfair, there is a difference between bias and being and having an unfair reporting, where you can just feel that even the reporters that are fair, they cannot open their mouth because they are attacked by the pro-Israeli, and that is really the main problem. It's not like everybody is saying their opinion. There are lots of people that are really, I feel, in all the shows, whether it's NPR or PBS or the McLachlan Report, the Washington Weekly and all this, when they sit around the table, they gloss over it because some of these people cannot say their piece. And it gets to be so, that's what bothers me mostly, you know. But I'm proud of being an Arab, and really, at least they see, you know, a little bit in our city that we exist, that really that's an issue, that we have to really remember that it's not, and it brings up conversations so people can really talk about it.
Still waiting, I approached a group of young women who were waiting excitedly to start the march down Decatur. They spoke to me as people passed candles through the growing crowd for the vigil.
It's pretty inhumane what they're doing to the Palestinian people. We need to support our people, make everybody like aware of what's happening there.
We're not going to deny it. Our biggest reason is we're Palestinian, so we have a personal feelings, personal belief to what's going on, and we want people to understand that this is not just about Palestinians or Muslims or Jews or Christians. It's about people dying and no one seeming to notice that money is being sent to a country to support a death of others. How is that fair, and how do others assume that it's based off of culture or religion? It's a humanity thing. If you're human, you realize killing others is just not right.
How do you feel about the U.S. government's response to what's going on?
It is frustrating.
Why is it frustrating?
To watch them do that to them and be okay with it. Be okay with watching these people for a month now just die for no reason. They've given up. They've decided we're not going to leave here, so we're just going to die. Either way, they're going to die. So they've decided we're just going to die on our land. The people in Gaza, they have nowhere to run to, so they've given up. And today when I watched them at the border of Egypt getting killed, the ladies running away said, "I had to leave my children." I'm like, what does she mean she had to leave? And she couldn't even speak after that. She was so upset, she couldn't even speak. She just stopped and realized that she had to leave her children behind because they were shooting at them to move away from the border.
If you could say one thing to the U.S. government about what they should do in response to what's going on, what would that one thing be?
I think it's not funding Israel and giving them money to make bombs and get bombs and weapons and not giving Gaza anything to fight with. That's wrong. They need it to stop. That's it. It's just inhumane, and I don't know, like, why would they do that?
It has more to do with power. The Palestinians right now have no real central government. They are relying on their own people to take care of them. And when Israel has this huge government that is in the UN, Palestine is barely recognized by the UN as is. When you have a country that has started in, what, 1949, following World War II, and they are recognized in the UN, of course other countries, specifically the U.S., are going to support them when they gave them that right. When they are not giving the right, same rights to Palestinians or other countries, they're giving it to the Israelis because for some reason the Israelis are in the UN.
Do you feel like this is an appropriate show of support for New Orleans?
This is a wonderful support from New Orleans. It shows that people all around the world are not going to take what's happening, even though the governments are. The citizens, the actual people, not the ones making the rules, the laws, the standards. The people of the land are saying that what's going on is wrong. And once people start realizing that, that lets you know that people are starting to realize what's happening in the world.
Just as the march was about to begin, I met Khalid and Fadel, two older men, one Syrian and one Palestinian.
I have been here 26 years. I am proud to be American, Syrian. Syrian-American, yes. You can tell. I am here to support Palestinian because we are in the same issue, Palestinian and Syrian. We both left alone among the whole global. Syrian and Palestinian, the same problem, left alone with the whole global. The embargo, the milk for the children to reach their stomach, but they allow the chemical bomb, they allow the all kind bomb over the children and women head. I think, and the whole world, the whole global watching, is this to support that criminal Assad? Is this to support Netanyahu? This is ridiculous. Where is the human right? But the issue is, we're talking as a human being issue. We have a lot of Jewish here supporting us too. So we're not against Jewish.
And I'm from Palestine. I'm here to support my brothers in Palestine. I've been here since, 20 years in New Orleans. I've been 20-some years in New Jersey too. So I've been here for a long time, you know. So I've been since I was 8 years old, you know. And I love it down here, you know. It's peaceful, you know. Shot me the most. They've been killing kids. I mean, they just bombed bombs dropped everywhere on schools, which is, it's forbidding, you know. And they've been doing this since day one. And they try to surround us, actually, you know. It's like we in the prison anyway. So considering Gaza is like a small strip, okay? It's about 36 miles. And it's enough. They've been under siege for 8.5 years, you know. And they've been trying so much. I mean, those people over there, they got nowhere, no help from no one, you know. And we've been here at least the best we could do, just like, you know, support, you know, show the world, like, you know, what's going on over there. If the U.S. government behind Israel, whether they're wrong or they're right, they're always behind Israel. They've been sending billions of dollars. They are between $10 to $15 billion a year. I feel bad. I've been paying my, tax money. I mean, that shouldn't go to Israel, which is to buy and come up with like a new technology, like bombs and all the stuff to do, you know, to try it on the Palestinians. You know, they're supposed to give the one who need it, which is most here, down here in New Orleans. I mean, we need. I mean, you should see what's going on over here. I mean, you can see them people living under bridges. I mean, build some houses for them instead of sending billions of dollars, you know, to, you know. Yeah, the money should keep, leave the money here. Keep it here. I mean, spend on the people down here instead of, you know, killing people, you know.
I asked Fadel how he felt about the atmosphere and the growing crowd surrounding us with Palestinian flags, wearing keffiyehs, and holding signs in support of his country.
I feel good, you know. I mean, the whole world now, they know what's going on. They know, actually, in some places, which is they don't, but down here at least, you know, we have more support, you know. I mean, for the Palestinians in Gaza and Palestine also, because they've been killing us in the West Bank and Gaza and Nablus and all over. Today, there is more than 13 dead, 100 some injured. So we need to have some support, I mean, for the brothers in Palestine, you know, and show them some support, you know. We need some peace in the Middle East, actually, you know. Yeah.
The march began with hundreds of supporters chanting in unison and flooding the sidewalks all the way down to Decatur. We stopped for a while to gather in Jackson Square and catch up with the rest of the protesters. Afterwards, we continued down towards Frenchman, and I met a man from out of town who explained to me his connection to the Palestinian struggle.
It's a personal, like, it's a personal relationship to the people of the community that are here in New Orleans. I'm not Palestinian. I am Muslim. And so I feel like the connection is just to the larger community, the larger, yeah, that's it. You know, like, I came to support friends. It's hard to see them go through their pain of watching what's going on in their mother country, you know, like, and so it's more of a personal relationship, you know, like, that brings me here. You know? It's an occupation, you know, like, it's been happening in that region for so long, you know, like, there's been so much turmoil in so many of those countries where the similar things have happened and there's like these blind eyes, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's always that like blind eye to, you know, I guess the word is atrocity, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like mass genocide, you know, like, you know, it's almost at that, it could be taken to that extreme if it doesn't stop, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just disregarded, you know, like, as such, you know, like, do I understand, like, the war machine, like, on a political level? No, I can't comment on it. Like I said, my experience is more of a personal local level. If the same thing was happening to a demographic of people directly here, you know, like American people, it would affect me in the same way, you know, like, I think it's great. I mean, like I said, this is, if you're not out here, you know, like, if you weren't out here, this is the Palestinian community, you know, like, this is them coming out to voice their, you know, make themselves visible, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they would love more support. You know, that's what I feel. I feel like they're here, but there's so many more levels that people could connect to that would, you know, warrant supporting what's going on. And there's the faith, you know. These are Muslim people, you know, that's a Muslim country, you know, like, that's a Muslim region, you know, like, and there's not enough support from the surrounding Muslim countries and you know, showing any assistance to the Palestinians. And that's, like I said, on a political level, I have no idea, you know, like, yeah, you know, I don't know why that's not happening, you know. I don't know why it's not happening here, you know, like, there's a lot of Muslims here. And you know, like, it's, Ramadan just ended, you know, like, so.
A woman and her husband spoke to me while marching with a stroller. They were attending the protest as a family with their young son in tow.
Okay. Well, in actuality, it's been many, many, many years, it's been decades, that there's oppression and abuse of families, and it's just the crime of Zionism that's going on in Palestine. And I think that is it's reached a boiling point where women and children are dying every day, and there is total lack of concern for any kind of humanity in the conflict. And the world has begun to wake up. And we have a responsibility. Every single person in the world has a responsibility to speak up, because any child, one child that continues to die tomorrow is because they can't speak up. So we have to speak up for them. I have been an activist since I was a very young girl. And, you know, I'm actually by profession an organizer for the Latino community. But I've been a Muslim since in my 20s. But wherever I see injustice, I always feel like I should speak out. Because everybody has gifts, and my gifts is that I'm not shy to speak out. If I'm, you know, I can't, I have to. I have to say if I see something wrong, I need to say something about it. And I'm very fortunate to live in a country where we can do that. We can speak out, you know, for what's wrong, and hopefully we can be a voice for many people in the world who cannot do that. Well, the most frustrating thing in actuality is that we say that we live in a free and just society, and that we are the example for the world, but we don't even look at the crimes. We don't even look at what is just and what's good. And we continue to let this oppression happen and this apartheid happen. So we criticize apartheid in South Africa, but then we allow it in Palestine. And so our country is not given... we're not given the proper information. Our media is not being just, and our government is not being just. And if they were just give it a chance to show what's really happening and try to get to the root problem, there will be a solution. And not just Palestine would be free and better, but I think the whole world would be better because of it.
Yeah, I don't see how, you know, the current massacre is going to result in anything except another generation of violence. There's how can you try and keep an open mind or step back from the situation if everybody in your family has been killed? So this can't possibly be targeted when you're bombing buildings and hospitals and schools. It's either, you know, in retribution, or it's extremely broad. If they're trying to take out a rocket launcher and they kill everybody else in the same block, that's not acceptable. It's got a very long history, and, you know, if you ask a person on one side, they're going to prove that they're right. And if you ask a person on the other side, they're going to prove that they're right. But in the end, I guess, was it Sharon? Or I don't know who it is that says you have to have a partner for peace. If America backs off and stops, you know, unilaterally supporting one side no matter what they do, then you can actually have some sort of peaceful dialogue, because then there's actually, Israel can't be right all the time even when they're wrong. We've got to accept that. We've got to believe that it doesn't matter that they're our side, you know, in theory they're, you know, our ally, even though they don't really do what we ask them to do. But in theory they're our ally. It doesn't mean that they're not doing wrong. So if we can stop supporting them when they're doing wrong, you know, maybe they can talk. You know, but right now there's no reason whatsoever for Israel to have any peace. They just continue to expand. There are no consequences. The consequence of peace is that you can't keep expanding into the occupied territories. But if you... Yeah, so if you every time, okay, we're going to have peace unless somebody, you know, breaks the truce. But you've got a dozen organizations, and if any one of them does something, now you can go ahead and take more territory, blow up more stuff, destroy infrastructure. So, I mean, just from a Machiavellian perspective, it's in Israel's interest right now to continue fighting. I'm not Palestinian. It's wrong. It's causing instability in the whole region. It's causing instability in the whole region, and it has for decades. You know? And we're not closer now than we were, you know, 20 years ago. We're not closer than we were 40 years ago, and that's very difficult to believe.
Closer to what?
To a resolution, or at least, you know, some sort of coexistence in that area.
As the protest culminated in celebration at Mona's restaurant on Frenchman Street, I had a chance to speak with some young people about how they felt about attending the protest.
Not a lot has been shown, like, on news. You see more support for Israel, like, in Israel, this many people died, but you never see Palestine, like, thousands of children were bombed. You never see that. You only see Israel. This would happen in Israel, this would happen in there. So they're only supporting Israel, they're not supporting Palestine. So I think that's not fair. It makes me feel sad because how can you call yourself human when you see these people die? How can you call yourself human when you're bombing, you're supporting them, you're giving money to the Israelis to bomb the country, and you don't feel anything? So it makes me really angry and sad. We're here to stand up so we can spread the word, so everyone can know. And eventually, if God wills, it'll be over someday. It's really heartwarming. Like, you get goosebumps. You get, like, really happy because you see all these people who are with Gaza and who are with them, and it's really heartwarming.
Well, we feel really passionately about what's going on because it seems like no one cares, and the media doesn't... It's so skewed towards, like, Zionism, and I feel like people need to know what's happening, what's going on. And if with protests, this kind of wakes up the city, and New Orleans is such a, like, political, liberal city, and so what's going on right now, like, we need to try our best to do put an end to it, because we can't just be bystanders and let this happen again, because this happens every single, like, few years. Genocide. It really is a genocide. And it's our part, it's our duty as human beings to do what we can to stop it, at least try. Protests like this is, like, it's spreading the word and getting word out. And I'm not Palestinian, I'm from Pakistan, but I have a lot of Palestinian friends. And, I mean, it's just being a human being. You go on the internet and you see these people dying and all these kids that literally grow up their entire lives living under occupied forces. You kind of have to feel something. Yeah, and, I mean, I want to love Obama, but everything he's done... I mean, we spend so much money. Like, if we put this money towards education or something useful that would help our country, it would be a lot better than putting it our tax dollars towards genocide. I mean, yeah. It was great. I felt really united with everyone there. There were Jews, Muslims, Christians, people of all colors. It was really beautiful. Yeah, it was great.
Finally, I spoke with Shadi. We went inside Mona's where he was working to chat as the restaurant continued to fill up with hungry protesters.
Well, me, I'm from Palestine, even though I never lived there, but you know, I still have, like, family. My father's side is still there. And, you know, it's just the fact that certain countries get away with, you know, genocide, basically. And that's, like, you know, if it was another country, I guess that was allies with the U.S. that was getting bombed, the world would go crazy. But because, of course, you know, Palestine, I guess, doesn't have anything to offer, you know, oil, gas, or whatever, you know, and they're occupied people, and basically they're fighting with rocks and doing whatever they, you know, they have to do to not, like, get crushed, basically, you know, and because they're living in a jail, you know. It's like it was things I was reading on the internet, and most of, you know, like, the jails in America, the people have medical care, they have food, they have, you know, basically Palestine is lower than the jail here, you know. That's what they have. They have nothing. So when you see people getting killed the way they are this time, and this is, I think, the worst time that ever I can remember, you know. And there's a lot of, you know, it's just like, it's like, it's a, you start getting emotional, and, like, you get I guess because you got connections there, you know, it's too much, you know, especially when you see the kids, you know. And all the kids, I mean, they have no idea what's going on. Right after the bombing, they'll go and to the beach and start playing if there's a ceasefire, like today when you know, there was a couple hours of ceasefire, and then all you see is kids running, trying to play. So really, you know, it's hard to see that, you know, especially when you have kids. You don't want to, you know, see any kid live like that, you know. And because they went too far, way too far this time, you know. And you know, what it's just genocide, you know. It's genocide. There's no, like, you cannot do that to people, you know. Especially people that don't have anything, and then call them terrorists, or call them saying we're fighting an army or whatever. They have nothing. They don't even have an army. They don't have an airport. They don't have weapons. They don't have nothing. Everything they do have is homemade, you know. So everything, whatever they have, that's what they're fighting for with, you know. And the difference, I think, is that Israel's taken this time to do what it's been trying to do for over 60 years, you know. and the way, you know, and the way that the world stepped up, like the people, not the governments, I guess, most of the people, they stepped up and they're just sick of it, you know. They're sick and tired of the same old story over and over again, you know. They start ceasefire, and then from the ceasefire goes, one breaks it, and then the other retaliates, and it's just back and forth all the time. And basically, I think they need two new leaders, you know. This side or that side, they both need two new leaders that are educated and that have, you know, that... like human rights views, and you know, well, right now I know that about 10 Latin American countries have sanctions on Israel, and that's like a start of other governments jumping in, you know, but because I guess, you know, Obama has seen it all, he's seen everything, and he still says they got a right to defend themselves. You know, I feel hopeless. I mean, that's the truth, you know. I feel that they let us down, you know. And especially as a president, you have to, you know, be there for the people. And then when it comes to especially the, like, war, you have to jump in right away and not be on this side or that side. You got to jump in right away and make sure that things don't go further, you know. For a president to do that, I used to actually support Obama, but after this month here, no more. I don't have no kind of support. I actually lost respect for the guy just because of his policies towards, you know, Israel and Palestine, you know. And, well, it made me feel like there is people that are standing up for justice. And I think that if everybody, because I see all different kinds of people, you know, I saw Jewish people, I saw Arabic, I saw Indian, I saw it all, I've seen it all, whatever. but when you see people are sick of it, this means there's, like, I think that July of 2014 is a new beginning of something that's about to happen, hopefully for the good, you know, because people are just tired of it. And we need leaders that can, you know, I guess be fair and not go on one side or the other just because of the money or the oil, because people's lives are at stake here. And if they were doing their job, you won't be seeing all these people dying, you know.
For WTUL, I'm Hillary Donnell.